sacrilege? Okay, we're good. So, I was actually not nervous about talking, and so the devil said, well, that's not going to be good for me, so I'm going to make all kinds of other problems. So Johannes isn't going to sleep at all the night before, and then he's going to be late for church, and we're going to need to add 27 things to the PowerPoint slides in the negative 3 minutes he has before the service is supposed to start. So I just want to open in prayer and just ask God to be in charge here, because he is, and he's way more powerful than Satan could ever hope or dream to be. So come, Holy Spirit. Lord God, I ask that you use me right now to speak your truth, Father. Help everyone to have open ears and open minds and open hearts to what you are saying, and bind anything that I would say that would be from my own flesh, from my own opinions, or not of you, Lord God. Just let your truth come through in this talk unadulterated, and let your Holy Spirit reign in this place. Amen. So, I'm told I'm supposed to keep this short, and I can't actually see the clock on the back wall, so I'm going to be looking to you guys to give me, like, you know, get 2 minutes and wrap it up, because you're taking too long. I'm used to talking to high schoolers, and some of them are in this room, so I need to be careful the mean things I might say about them, but they're every bit as attention deficit as I am. Maybe I'm even more so. And so when I give a talk, I really need feedback. So if you have a question, if I've failed to cover something, if you just want to interrupt me and say something, raise a hand, and hopefully I'll see you, and we'll get through this that way without me totally skipping over something super important, like who is the Holy Spirit. So today, we really want to have a Holy Spirit-led service, which isn't to say that we don't always try to have a Holy Spirit-led service, but we want to have one where we can see miracles, we can see people healed, we can see just crazy awesome things happen, because God is really working in Washtenaw County. But before we, well, not necessarily before, but as a introduction to getting into that, I want to make sure that everyone really understands about the spiritual gifts, about healing, about miracles, why that happens, that happens. And so to start, I have my outline here. I never, ever have typed up an outline for a talk before. This is a very much first for me. No, I was up in bed tossing and turning. I actually got this done almost half a week ahead of time. Look at me. But what are the spiritual gifts? There are a bunch of different places, and we just heard from like four of them, where the spiritual gifts or the Holy Spirit are referenced in the scripture. And there's a whole lot of confusion because there are different kinds of spiritual gifts. There are, and for simplicity's sake, I'm only putting it in two different categories here. And please, if you've taken the time to break it down into 16 categories, I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm just doing it more basically than you did. There are charismatic gifts, and charismatic is a word that some people kind of get a little bit, I don't know, about just because of the way it's thrown around. But charismatic is from a Greek word, the root of which means grace. And I'm going to try and butcher this word, but it's charis, I think, means grace. And so charisma is manifestations of grace. And in 1 Corinthians 12:7, which is one of the many places where the spiritual gifts are talked about, it says, the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. So it's talking about manifestations of grace through the Holy Spirit. So, and those are gifts like words of knowledge, well, straight out of the Bible. Wisdom, words of knowledge, faith, healing, miracles, prophecy, discerning of spirits, gifts of tongues, interpretation of tongues, and it goes on. That's also in 1 Corinthians 12. You can look it up when you go home. And then there's another subset of gifts that you'd find in Romans 12, and those are like, I talked to Pastor George about it last week, and he said these are gifts that one generally has from birth, whether you're a Christian or not. So the charismatic gifts are things like healing, where you can, you know, lay hands on someone and pray and see like their busted leg get fixed, or like what most of you probably heard about with Pastor Brian, like miraculous, total nonsense, why did this even happen, it doesn't make sense to the world, healing. And then there are the Romans 12 gifts, and they're more like personality traits. And everyone gets them when they are born, regardless of whether or not they're born into a Christian family. And they're things like teachers. The Bible uses the word prophets, but Pastor George, again, used the word visionaries for that. Exhorters, givers, leaders, people who are very merciful. And so if you've ever had like a teacher in school who really affected your life in a big way, but wasn't a Christian, but still was just a very effective teacher, they probably had one of those gifts. But those aren't the ones we're talking about today. I just wanted to clarify. So, charismatic gifts. A lot of people wonder what, like, if we're still allowed to use them. You'll hear people say, well, do those really happen? Were they just for the apostles? Did only Jesus and you know, the 12 use that? And then now we don't get to use them anymore. And so, broken this down into what does the scripture say? What does Lutheranism say? And a bunch of other stuff that I might end up skipping over because it's kind of extra. So, in John 14:12, Jesus talking, most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do he will do also, and greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father. So Jesus did some pretty incredible things in his ministry, and we see what was probably only a very small subset of those in the Gospels. I mean, you only get, you know, that many pages, right, to hear about his whole ministry. And he's the Son of God, so of course he got to do great things, right? But he said, greater things, so these things and greater you will do. So Jesus raised a guy from the dead, actually more than one. We're going to do that and better. So that alone is good enough for me, but we'll keep going. Lutheranism is that's my heading here, all caps with an exclamation point. I've never read the Book of Concord. I'm going to be honest with you, I had never even heard of it until I was in high school. And I cheated a bit on this, and I used Pastor Ted Yunkunt's little Catechism for Charismatic Lutherans, which is awesome. And so this I got out of that, and it's in the Book of Concord, so you know it's Lutheran. It says, we see that God himself gives completely to us, God gives himself completely to us with all his gifts and his power. The Father gives us all creation, Christ all his works, the Holy Spirit all his gifts. So that kind of wipes out all question in my mind from a Lutheran standpoint if we're supposed to have the gifts or not. I think the Holy Spirit, all his gifts, just that chunk on its own says to me, yeah, we got them if we ask. And to those who would say the gifts were only for the apostles, the gifts were only for Jesus, right when he was there and they all dissipated into nothing, and you know, we're 2,000 years later now, they probably don't even work anymore. The batteries are dead or something. Hebrews 13:8, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Forever. It's 2,000 years later. I don't think they're anything any less powerful. I don't see how they could be. If God gets less powerful over time, I'm not sure he's God. Am I covering the bases pretty well so far? I'm blowing through this a lot faster than I thought I would. You should take a few pointers. No. I'm going to get fired tomorrow. So, that said, okay, I'm going to put words in all of your mouths right now. You're saying, and you're not because I don't hear any of you talking, if we're Christians and we have the Holy Spirit and we are, you know, sons of God through the Spirit, and sorry, I'm throwing terms around here that if you haven't read through the Bible, you're going, what is he talking about? But hopefully I'll get to that. Well, why don't we see healing all the time? You know, why is it that when I pray for my friend to be healed from his broken arm, or my mom to be healed from cancer, or whatever it is, I don't always see it happen. And I don't have a set in stone answer for you, but I'm going to try and work through it. And the reason they asked me, I think, to give this talk, maybe it's just because Paul was sick of doing it, but I think the reason they asked me is because at Mission Christ, which is the high school group that I lead, it's everybody who feels like coming at this point, but the high school group that I lead, we've been seeing just this incredible release of the power of the Holy Spirit and the spiritual gifts, and we've seen crazy stuff. And I had all my little testimonies at the end, but I'm going to give you one now just so, like, maybe get you a little bit excited. We've been seeing healing just all over the place. And we've seen other stuff too, but healing's just the most like tangible, exciting one, at least for me. And so like, for instance, we have, there's a girl who goes to Mission Christ. Her name is Kristen Johnson. A lot of you probably know her. Her parents go to St. Luke. And she had scoliosis. And so her spine was like shaped like an S. And like this way, not the way it's supposed to be. And because of that, you know, she had one leg that was kind of shorter than the other and all kinds of back problems. And when we started doing this healing ministry stuff, she got prayed over. And like she said, you know, she sort of felt something change. But she didn't actually tell anybody. And she just kind of went on her way. And then her mom, who's a nurse, was sitting by her while she was reading or doing homework or something, like a week later, scratching her back and like ran her hand along her spine and like jumped back and goes, "Kristen, what happened? Your spine is completely straight." And Kristen goes, "Oh yeah, I got prayed over a week ago and I think I'm fine now." But so this stuff happens. And so I'm going to flip-flop some of my sections around here. How to pray. I think a lot of the reason we don't see healing when we pray, even if we're, you know, in the spirit and we're really just kind of going forward, we've had a sweet worship time or a good prayer time, whatever, a lot of the time we pray like this. Let me see if I can find it here. I have a typical, terrible prayer. Okay, here we go. "God, heal so-and-so's cancer," unless you don't want to, or maybe it's not time yet. "Your will be done. Amen." And nothing happens. And why do you think that is? And I'm doing this totally backwards now. I had this all like in a great order, and now I'm just throwing it all away. So I'm sorry. One of the things we need to do when we pray is pray in humility. And even Jesus, when he was praying, talking to his Father, says, where did I put it? "Father, if it is your will, take this cup away from me." He's talking about having to be crucified on the cross and die for our sins and go through all this terrible stuff. "Father, if it is your will, take this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done." That is extremely important. If we're not humble, we're not anything. Like, God's not going to be like, "Well, you prayed for that person to be healed so you could go, sweet, look what I just did, but I'm going to do it anyway." No, if you're not humble, he's just going to be like, "Nope, sorry, you're out of luck." But at the same time, we can let that, "not my will, but yours be done," be an out. It's like a cheat. And we really experience this because one of the things we've been doing is going out and praying over complete strangers on the street for healing. And again, we've seen incredible results. But if you go up and pray over that person, you're like, you know, they're not a Christian. They already probably think I'm kind of a nut. I don't want to look any weirder. I'm going to pray like this. "Lord God, heal this person's leg. Unless it's your will not to, then I have an excuse when it doesn't happen." And that completely undermines your faith. And faith is extremely important, because if you can't have faith in God, how can you have faith that this person's going to be healed? Because God is the one doing it. So, "not your will, not my will, but yours be done." Extremely important, but you have to pray in authority. And now I can jump back to where I was supposed to be. We are children of God. We have been adopted. When we accepted Jesus Christ as our Savior, we were adopted as sons of God. And here, I'll give you the Bible passages to prove it. Romans 8, my favorite chapter of the Bible. I don't know if you're allowed to have favorites. Sorry, I do. "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God." I'm going to read that part again. "As many as are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father." If we didn't have the Spirit, we wouldn't get to call God Daddy. But we do. "The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together." We're heirs of God. We are Jesus Christ's spiritual heir to the kingdom brothers. Like, if Jesus is a prince, and I guess he's not because he's the king, but then we're also princes. So we have power as children of God the King to exercise his will and the laws of his kingdom wherever we want, wherever he wants. Next one, John 11. Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead man was lying. This is when Jesus raises Lazarus from the dead. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me, and I know that you always hear me, but because of the people who are standing by, I said this, that they may believe that you sent me. Now when he had said these things, he cried out with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he who had died came out of the came out bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was wrapped with a cloth. And Jesus said to them, loose him and let him go. When Jesus prayed for Lazarus to come forth, did he say, Lord God, please raise Lazarus from the dead? If that's what you want to do, I'm not really sure. And I've got all these people watching me, and it's kind of embarrassing if it doesn't happen. So, God, do whatever you want with Lazarus. Amen. And just stand there and wait. He said, Lazarus, come forth. And he did. And now the temptation is to write this off and say, well, that's because Jesus was the Son of God. Of course he could do it. But he said these things and greater you will do. He didn't say some of these things, but probably not as well. And half the time it's not going to work. So we have to pray in that same authority. Not, God, please heal the leg. But illness be gone in the name of Jesus. And it seems like a silly thing. Well, we're talking to God either way, right? But one way, we're meek, even if we're in the right mindset. It's still a meek way of speaking, and our words have power, and that's a whole different talk. But when you say, be healed as a son of God, that thing has to submit to you. Caveat. We have seen that when we pray for people for healing, it doesn't always happen the first time. I don't know why that is. I don't have an answer for you. I can't think of a place where Jesus said, be healed, and it didn't work the first time, and he had to do it again. I can think of one with the blind guy, but I think that's a different thing. Sorry, my tongue is drying up. I'm not going to be able to form words in a minute. When we've been praying, we've seen that we pray once and maybe nothing happens. Maybe it gets a little better. We pray again and it gets better. And we pray again and it gets better. And we pray again and then finally they get full healing. And I don't know why that is. And I've prayed about it and God hasn't told me why that is. But don't be discouraged when you pray once and it doesn't happen. Unless God said to you, it is because I am using this for some reason, don't put words in his mouth and say, well, it's because God's using it for some reason. Pray again and again and again and again until they get healed or God tells you to cut it out. It's like the unjust judge, the lady keeps coming and asking him, or the neighbor who's knocking on his neighbor's door. He's like, I got these friends that came over. These are parables, by the way. I'm not just making things up off the top of my head. Knocking on the door, you know, I had friends that came over and I need bread to feed them. And the neighbor's like, well, I hate you, but I'm sick of you knocking. So I'm going to give you bread so you leave me alone. God tells us to just keep asking and asking and asking and asking until we get it. Okay. One of the most important things that I ever failed to realize until less than a year ago, we did the Life in the Spirit seminar at Mission Christ. It was one of our spring retreats, and Dave Mangan, who some of you might know, he was a big part of the Catholic Charismatic Renewal back in the day, long before I was born or considered, came out and led this Life in the Spirit seminar for us. And the most important thing I took away from it was this. He said, this is one of the easiest prayers you can pray, and the prayer is, come Holy Spirit. And God always answers it with yes. Always. And that's how we have to start. Because, and what I've realized, like with Mission Christ and stuff, is that I can say, come Holy Spirit, all I want, and I can feel them all throughout the room. But if someone else in the room never said, come Holy Spirit, and never asked him to start working in them, they can be totally surrounded and completely oblivious. So come Holy Spirit. We're back to how to pray, by the way, if you're wondering where my headings are. Important, the Lord's Prayer, part of it says, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Is there sickness and death and depression and addiction and junk in heaven? I don't think so. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We talked about humility, but there are two kinds of humility. There's true humility, God, not my will, but yours be done. And there is false humility. And I was talking to my friend Daniel Jackson, who's been extremely helpful with guiding us in using the spiritual gift. He has a crazy healing ministry, and he just follows God. He's like, I feel like God's telling me to go to China. See you guys in 3 months. And comes back with all kinds of awesome stories. And I was talking to him, and he said, we're not grasshoppers. And I said, what are you even talking about? We're not grasshoppers. And he was talking about false humility, and this just was like, what are you, what is totally random. And then he's like, you know, like in the Bible when they were going into the promised land. And I'd botch it up if I tried to do it, so I have this long chunk of scripture, and I will read it, and hopefully it will make sense. So the spies went into the promised land to kind of scope it out. You know, they went pretty much straight from Egypt to the promised land. So this is before their 40 years of wandering in the desert. And the spies come back, and one guy, well, two guys, Caleb says, and then Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and take possession, for we are well able to overcome it. So he's like, we should go for it. I don't care what's in there. God's giving us this promised land. Let's go. But all the other spies go. The men who had gone up with him said, we're not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we are. And they gave the children of Israel a bad report of the land, which they had spied out, saying, the land through which we have gone as spies is a land that devours its inhabitants, and all the people whom we saw in it are men of great stature. There we saw giants, and we were like grasshoppers in our own sight, and so we were in their sight. That's exactly what he was talking about. These people, yeah, in the flesh, like just by themselves, were grasshoppers compared to these huge, giant, powerful men. But they were the children of God, and God had told them, this is your land. That's false humility. When God has already given you something, and you go, oh no, they're real big. Or like, I don't know, like, I'll pray for someone's cold to go away, but cancer? That's false humility. We have been given power as sons of God to bring God's kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. And so, okay. I want to, because I'm jumping all around and I think I've missed stuff. Is there anyone who has questions or comments or just thinks I'm totally straight up wrong? Which is okay. That's allowed. Good. Okay. I want to share a couple testimonies. I did one. I'll do one more. So we talked about KJ, who is Christian. She goes to Mission Christ getting healed. I need to learn how to time that better. But one of the things we do is, they're called treasure hunts. You get together and you pray and you ask God for a word of knowledge, and he usually just gives little snippets like cast, blue hat, khaki pants, diag. And so you end up with this, like, we call it a treasure map, but it's like a grid, and you have like clothing, attributes, locations, and you compare notes and you find things that match up. And so maybe three of you got diag, or like, one of you got diag, and one of you got the letter M. And there's a big M in the middle of the diag. And so you go to the diag, and sure enough, there's a guy with a cast and khaki pants and a blue hat. You know. And so we go and pray over these complete strangers that we feel like God is telling us to pray over. And so, like, the first or second time the Mission Christ group went out to do this, they met this lady who, she's sitting at a bus stop with a cane, and she just looks awful. Not like looks awful, looks like she feels awful. And they felt like God was telling them to pray for her. And so they walked up and they asked, and I think it turned out she was a Christian, but not practicing or hadn't, I don't know. But she had fibromyalgia, and she has pain through her whole body all the time. And she'd just come from the dentist, I think, or the eye doctor, that's not even important. But she was walking with her daughter, and she said, this is the worst pain I've ever experienced. Like, when they asked her, she said it was a 10 out of 10, worst pain she'd ever experienced. And she had just told her daughter, if we have to go any further, I'm not going to be able to make it. And so she's sitting there, just racked with pain, kind of leaning on her cane, and our friends come up and start to pray for her. And they pray for her, and the first thing that happens is all of her pain went away, except in her foot. And we're like, why in her foot? Why does that make any sense? But so they said, well, can we pray again? She says, sure. And they pray again. And she's like, it's a little better. And they prayed one more time. And even the pain in her foot went away. She went from a 10 out of 10 pain in her entire body to no pain at all. And we're like, try it out. Get up. Walk. And she got up and she threw her cane to the side and like ran down the sidewalk and back. Praise God. So that's the kind of stuff that God is not only able but happy to do when we ask him for it. So sorry, this was way, way less organized than I hoped it would be, but I figure God can work through me when I ask him to, right? So amen.